Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, education matters. Well, our guest today is Susie Dobbs, who teaches the audio-visual class at Upperman High School. Susie, welcome to Local Matters. Oh,
thank you for having me. You know, I am so excited. First of all, you and I have got to work on a lot of different projects together with Central Office and our broadcasting program at Upperman, and this has been such a joy for me to see the kids contributing to something that the public in Cookeville actually gets to view. So
I know.
It's really been great.
And so really just kicking that off, just talk about, you know, the AV program at Upperman. This time last year, you were getting recognized nationally.
Yes.
I see the announcements that the students do. And it, for me, if I would have had something like this back in high school, I had to wait till I got to college.
Yes.
And then it was like, it was still a developing major.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we had a camera or if we got to go in, you know, to like an old DJ studio, that's kind of what it was like if you want to do, you know, audio. But, man, it is so cool what you guys get to do at Upperman.
I'll tell you. So we built the program. I was the lucky one to come in with absolutely nothing but a room. And that's okay. Because, you know, hey, I'm up for challenges.
Yes.
But where we've come from that first year not having any equipment at all until after December, and then really putting it together in December and teaching the kids how to edit and just boom, you know, rapid fire, to then the second year being recognized nationally in the top 10 for broadcasting programs. And now this year we are going to Skills USA. We're going to the state competition to compete against other schools in video production, radio production, and news production.
Really?
Yes, and I'm so excited. The kids are so creative.
Yes.
And it is so fun. Let me back up. I never thought in a million years I would be teaching at high school. Now, I teach at the college level, but I never thought I would be a high school teacher. And I never understood how rewarding it would be to watch these kids go from not having any idea what they're doing to running a live news broadcast and doing creative things and having fun and letting their personality shine through. It has been an adventure, and I am so glad that I agreed to do it.
Well, let's go back. Let's back up a couple of years. Let's talk about, you know, when you came in, you said you just had a room.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the process by which you were able to get some equipment or to even turn it into, you know, the vision you had? I'm sure you had something in your mind, but then you had to go through hoops and processes and all these things to get to that point.
Yes. So I came from national television, and our show was videotaped, edited, and then put on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted the kids to learn was live broadcast.
Yeah.
So I had to tweak a few things that I was doing too. And so when we set up the studio, I had to go to a lot of different mentors that I know in news broadcast, and we came up with an idea. And then I went to the construction kids and asked if they could build the studio for us, which they did.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was great to collaborate with them because they got to build something that they saw right there that they could go in and say, look, I did this.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. And then it's evolved. You know, when I came in, there had already been a plan to buy equipment.
Okay.
But the equipment that had been planned on, what came from an IT standpoint.
Yes.
Which really, I was lucky that I got here in time to scrap that so that we could change directions and get what we needed for a live broadcast. And CT has been amazing. We have been so lucky that they believe in our program and get right behind it and anything we need. And so every year, you know, we use what we have. And then every year we know, as you know, it almost becomes obsolete in a year.
Yes.
And there's always new things coming out. And I want to prepare these kids to, if they choose to go to college, great. But if they don't, they can leave my classroom and go right into the industry and be using the industry standard equipment and editing software and everything else like that, so we always have to be evolving. But it's really cool because every time someone comes in to see our room, they're like, wow, you've really done some neat stuff in here since the last time I was here. So that's always a good thing. That's always a great thing to hear.
Well, now you have equipment and you have a place. So how did you get the students involved?
You know, well, and again, I was so naive to think this, that when I came in that I would have students that knew what they were taking, wanted to take it,
right,
and And that's how I got them. Yeah. That was sadly mistaken.
Oh, yeah, because it's brand new.
Because it's brand new. So most of the kids I had were seniors. I probably had 25% that were like, oh, my gosh, they saw that. Boom. Yes, they were going right in.
Right.
And the other ones got in there and had no idea what it was. And when they found out, were 100% engaged.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. Then the second year again, you know, because it's new, there's a lot of students that get put in there because that's their only option. But I have been able to help these kids find a creative outlet, even if they are not going to do this as a job.
Sure.
They're going to do something as a job.
Yeah.
So if they're going to sell something online, if they're going to have a YouTube channel, if they're going to do, they have learned skills that they can use for any industry that they decide to go into.
Yeah. So how many students did you have starting out?
Oh, good question. I've slept since then, buddy. let's see. I had six classes. I had six classes. They were all AV1, so it was all newbies. And we had a full schedule, so, maybe 80, 100.
Really?
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've maintained that. That's the thing. So we have constantly had new kids coming in, and they also have me doing work-based learning.
Ah.
So I've been double duty now, which is good because now AV4 is going to be a student-run enterprise. So that will be a work-based learning class. So next year will be AV4. So I'm so excited about that because we're going to make a run for a competition here in Cookeville. So the kids are going to be doing commercials and doing ad runs for community businesses and stuff. And it's going to be great.
That's
awesome.
It's
going to be awesome. I'm so excited. They're going to get an opportunity to be able to showcase their talents and do it for the community, which is great. You know, who wouldn't want a high school AV, you know, video production team to do stuff for them? And of course, it'll be at a reduced cost that they wouldn't, you know, have to pay normally. But also, they're really creative. And, you know, these kids, this is a generation of kids that have grown up creating content.
Exactly.
It's
in their nature.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolutely in their nature.
Now, I'm not saying they have produced great content.
Right.
But they have been producing it. So when we start working on stuff, they already have a base to work from. And then we just tweak it and make it better.
Yeah. Now you're talking about your AV4. So you come in, you've got AV1 classes.
Mm-hmm.
So take us now through what the different classes are and kind of what each class does.
Mm-hmm. So AV1 is an introductory class.
Yeah.
And you know, I just want to teach them everything.
Yeah.
You know, but I've learned that you can't teach them everything. But I also immerse them immediately in editing.
Yeah.
Because the better editor you are and the faster you are, the more money you make.
Absolutely.
So for the kids that come in and want to do this as a job, and we always talk about that in the very beginning. Who's going to do, you know?
Yeah,
me. And I get as many kids certified as Adobe Certified Professionals as I can.
Yeah.
If they want to do this as a job, we are constantly gearing towards that in AV1.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually had some AV1 students pass that exam.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I've had three AV1 students pass that exam. And so AV2, then we go on to AV2, which is a little more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, then we start learning how to do special effects and creating templates and doing hype videos and stuff like that. And so AV2 gets a little more in depth, and almost all of my AV2 students have passed that exam.
Awesome.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And AV3 is this year is my announcement crew.
Okay.
So they started with me, and they're really good. Everyone in that class except one or two who really editing's not their thing, and it has to be your thing.
Yeah.
It is boring, and it is time consuming.
It is.
And I mean,
but nothing stalls a project more than editing.
Yes. And it takes so much time. And there's just some kids that are like, I can't sit still that long. And that's okay. That's okay because their strengths are in other areas.
Yes.
But they are my announcement crew, and we have technical directors, and we try and put kids in where their strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
So the technical directors are the ones that love to build computers and really love all that technical stuff. So they're great at that. And then I've got writers. And I've got on-air talent, and we've got camera ops and lighting ops, and I mean, we have the whole thing. And everyone gets to do every job, but we have the ones that love it the most doing those jobs.
Let's go back to what you said your intent was, and that was for live broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
For high school kids to be doing live broadcasting, one, that's almost unheard of, and two, for them to even want to do live broadcasting, because, you know, it's a lot safer to record, edit, and then put out a finished product. It is a whole lot safer because you don't know what high school kids are going to say.
That's right. So
help me with the mindset there of live broadcasting.
It's hard. So I kind of give them the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
We do it live to tape.
Yeah.
Because our announcement crew comes in fifth period this year.
Mm-hmm.
So announcements go at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we record the announcements for the day before, but we do them live to tape. Mm-hmm. So yes, they make mistakes, and yes, we can edit them out.
Okay,
we encourage them not to.
Right.
But starting next week, we're going live to tape because we're practicing for the Skills USA competition.
Right.
So it is, we have three different sets. We have weather, mm-hmm. we have news, and we have sports.
Yeah.
So it will be switching, and we're going to run through it one time, and then they're on. And they're all in a panic because they're like, you know, even though they do it now without messing up, when you tell them, okay, it's live, then they're like, ah!
It changes the whole perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but we're going to get them used to it because that's how they're going to have to do it at Skills USA.
Yeah.
So that's what's great, though. It teaches them.
It does.
I've got some kids that can ad-lib like you wouldn't believe. Although we have teleprompters, and that's a skill in itself.
It is.
There's a lot of people in production that have never read off a teleprompter.
Yes.
I was one of them. I mean, I went in and did a few live shows at RFD TV where we had our TV show. And they're like, do you have a script? I'm like, I don't need a script.
Yeah.
And you should have seen the TD go,
yeah.
You don't have a script? But I've got kids that can do that, and not everybody can.
Right.
So that is a great skill to have. They can read off a teleprompter. They can ad lib if something happens to the teleprompter. And if you've ever watched a live news broadcast,
I have been on a live broadcast when the teleprompter went down, and you're just sitting there.
It's a deer in a headlight.
Yeah, you are a deer in the headlight for sure.
But these kids know how to roll.
Yeah.
And it's great to watch them. They are so creative, and you know it is something that not everybody has. It's born in you, and I've been lucky that I have multiple kids that can do that.
Awesome. We're going to take a break. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, this is Local Matters with the Focus on Education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we are talking with Susie Dobbs, AV instructor at Upperman High School. And Susie, I guess one question I have is, how did you get into this to begin with? What in the world is your background? What brought you to Upperman?
They tricked me.
Yeah,
they
okay.
tricked me.
They always do.
They absolutely tricked me getting me into this. Well, so I'll tell you first how it got here, and then we'll go back a little bit.
But okay.
When my daughter entered high school mm-hmm. as a freshman, she's a volleyball player.
Okay.
And Mr. Stepp was the principal at Upperman at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and I met with him and I said, hey, I can live stream your volleyball games. I can make it look like ESPN. It'll look great. As long as I have, you know, a few things, I can get it done. And he goes, really? Wow, that's great. You want to teach our broadcasting program? And I said, absolutely not. No, I do not. So at the time, my daughter said, look, Mom, you are on the road all the time. You're doing this, that, and the other thing, and I never get to see you. If you taught this, I'd get to see you every day.
Good point.
And I was like, oh, for the love. I said, okay, well, let me think about it. I thought about it all summer. And about beginning of August, I got back to Mr. Stepp, and I said, look, if you still want me, I'll do it. So our class actually didn't start right on. I mean, we had students in there, but we didn't start right on time.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got here. Previous to that, I was touring around singing country music.
Well, all right.
And at a certain point in your career...
Was Susie Dobbs your stage name?
Yep.
Okay.
At a certain point in your career, you get to the point where Nashville thinks that you're not marketable anymore because you're too old.
Right.
Now, the industry, I mean, the fans don't think so.
Right.
But so we continue to tour, but I thought, I was on a bus with my fiddle player, and he's like, let's start a TV show. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. Why not?
Why not?
We're going to all these rodeos. Let's start a show about rodeo.
Yeah.
And my hometown rodeo is one of the longest running PRCA rodeos in the country. And the announcers are Hall of Fame rodeo announcers. And I've known my co-host that ended up being my co-host at the time. I'd known him since, well, when my parents were little.
Yeah.
So I approached him and he said, oh, Susie, you have no idea what kind of work this is going to be. I'm like, look, I'll do whatever we got to do. I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And we did. And we were on the air for 10 years. And my co-host passed away. Let's see. It's been 4 years ago now.
Oh.
And so actually we're in the process of doing a documentary on his life.
Okay.
But that's how I got into the television industry.
Yeah.
And so I learned from the ground up, from running putting together a business plan,
right,
to putting together everything that we needed to present to the national station,
mm-hmm,
and then shooting it.
Yeah.
And getting out there and being on-air talent and selling sponsorships. So it was everything. I learned everything. And I could not have wished for a better training in the industry, especially to set me up for this.
Yeah.
Because the kids now are setting up to do live broadcasts for May Day and graduation.
Awesome.
We're going to live stream it.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We're going to sell advertising.
Yeah.
So they're getting to learn how to go into that route and put together a program for each advertiser.
Right.
So I've been there, done that. So it's great. It was a great education for me to be able to pass on to this generation of kids, never knowing back then that I would end up being a teacher.
Well, I mean, isn't that always, you know, you never know where it's going to end up, you know, what it's going to do for you. So where are you from originally?
North Platte, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. School, where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of Chicago.
Okay. From Nebraska to Chicago to somehow to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Yep.
Okay.
So I came to Nashville first
for
the music business.
Yeah.
And my dad, in all of his infinite wisdom, made me go to – before I could go into entertainment full time, he said, you've got to have a college degree because you don't know where this is going to end up.
Right.
And if you don't do it now, you won't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah.
So I went to the University of Chicago to get a degree in radiation therapy. So
– A little different than communications and country music.
And this is funny because – I would be out on the road touring, and then when I had some time off, I would go work at a facility someplace in the United States as a radiation therapist.
Okay.
And there was probably three times, I remember once in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I walked out to the waiting room, and two people looked at me and said, did I not just see you on television? And I said, you might have.
Yeah.
So it was always fun when you would see that shocked look on someone's face, and they went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a little weird. But I couldn't have traded that for anything either because I love my patients. And that was one of the hardest things to kind of – I wasn't sure that I wanted to leave that. But yet I have – it's so weird to have two careers that you love so much.
Yeah.
And then choose one or the other, which I still do both. So
you
I
do.
Haven't. I do.
Okay.
Very seldom do I work in radiation therapy now, but I still do.
So – you went from University of Chicago to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like being in Nashville? How long were you there? I mean, what was that like?
I was in Nashville from 2000 until 2013, and then 2013 is when I moved up here. But I was writing songs every day. It was, again, I would not trade that for the world. The music industry is so fun, mm-hmm, and it's an experience that if you are blessed enough to be in it, it is just – Taya still talks about traveling around and how she misses going to Las Vegas and singing in Las Vegas and going to California and singing in California. And, you know, I have pictures of her when she was little, and I'd set up a little microphone about this high, and she'd be in front of the guitar amp, and she'd be singing backgrounds for me and doing dances. And, you know, she always stole the show. They say don't work with animals or kids.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. And in 2013, you came to Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
So did you – pick up your other career then when you came to Cookeville?
No.
Okay.
I the hospital here, they wanted me to come up here and do radiation therapy at the cancer center, and it was awesome, and I loved it. But so I was still touring on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I was still going to rodeos and still doing the – I was singing at the rodeo, doing television shows at the rodeo. So wherever my co-host was announcing a rodeo, I was there to either sing and do our show together, or I would just be doing the show. So, yeah, it was – it was fast and furious. It was during the week at the cancer center, and sometimes I only worked. We did 4 or 10, so my day off is usually either Friday or Monday because I was out. I was at the airport as fast as I could be, and we would be flying. At that time, I was also doing championship bull riding, so I was in the arena doing the interviews for championship bull riding. And that was during that time also. I would fly out on Thursday nights sometimes for that and then fly back. I'd put a lot of air miles on. Constantly on the go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it it sounds fascinating. You go back to that show that you've been doing. What did it air on? I mean, was it weekly? Just tell us a little bit about that.
It was. We did we were on twice a week, and it was 26 episodes a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 2 seasons, and we were out at rodeos. It was sports. So,
yeah.
I mean, sports is my thing. I love sports.
Yeah.
I mean – I'm more of a color person than a play-by-play person because that's what we do as announcers in rodeo.
Right.
We don't really – we do a little play, but not really. It's more of a color. You want to know about your athletes. You want to know about your stock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was always so fun for me. So it's been great coming – transitioning into this. I did at the state tournament, Mr. Shanks, and I did play-by-play for the girls volleyball.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And so that was fun. But another great thing that we're doing here too is – I've got 2 kids that are amazing play-by-play, and
right.
they did football this year.
They did.
And they're going to do a little bit of baseball.
Yeah, I heard them. They were really good.
Amazing, to the point where Upper Cumberland Reporter had them work for them, too.
Yeah,
and I am so proud. And one of them's a senior graduating, but then one of them, Caleb, is a junior. And so he's going to be doing it again next year. And I told him this year, I said, look, Caleb, I said, I've worked with the best of the best, from ESPN, sportscasters, to everybody. And someone like – I mean, I never prepared him for this, but even he and I would do pregames together.
Uh-huh.
And when I would throw it to him, he was ready.
He was ready.
I mean, I was in shock that a kid that age was so smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, really? You know, I just – again, I think those are just talents that are given when kids are born like that. I mean, it's just – it was amazing. He's got a great career ahead of him.
Talking with Susie Dobbs and Buddy Pearson, you're listening to Local Matters. And hey, welcome back. This is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. We're talking to just the subdued Susie Dobbs, the Upperman High audiovisual instructor. And we were hoping she would come out of her shell for this interview.
And I've tried really hard. You know, that's one of the things I've been working on, to really just put myself out there and
express
have confidence
yourself. Just come on,
and
Susie.
Be able to talk. You know, it's hard for me to talk.
So, fascinating background from Nebraska, the University of Chicago, to Nashville, to Cookeville, from, country music to putting together rodeo shows, and now the AV instructor for Upperman, the Hive TV, which I love.
The Hive TV.
So Hive TV, you've got spring going on. Then you're starting to look toward next year. And I know, you know, they start talking about budgets and things like that. So if you had a wish list right now of what you would like to have for the Hive TV, what would that look like?
I could spend $100,000 like that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
You know, equipment's so expensive, but we've already decided that we have a little Blackmagic switcher, and it's just – we've outgrown it.
Yeah.
We have so outgrown it because we use green screen, and you can't key out green screens. Green. Here we're getting into stuff that people are going, ho-hum, what's that? I don't care. But you can't do what we need to do with that little thing. So that's our first – that is actually one of the things that we've expressed that we really need for next year, because we want to set up these kids to be able to do what they need to do in the industry.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my first and foremost. We have a mixing board. We could use a bigger mixing board so that we could run more microphones. We're doing student-run talk shows.
Nice.
And so we have the kids. It's been great because they've learned how to mic people up, and they've learned what works and what doesn't work. We've got – I'd love to have a truss system. I would so love to have a truss system where we could run lights instead of kind of finagling them in the ceiling. And, you know, I would love to have a truss system. But the kids, you know, they're just great. They're just – I love it. And with this talk show that we've been doing, I can't tell you how creative these kids are. You and I were talking a little earlier about the student-run talk show that these kids have been doing, and they get to pick the subjects as long as it's school-appropriate.
Yeah.
And I said, now, you know, you can talk about controversial subjects because you guys are the next generation. You are going to be political people. Look, it's okay to talk about things that are in the news right now.
Now, does the administration cringe at all when they watch or they hear some of the subjects?
They haven't seen it yet. Okay. But no. And what's it? They're going to love it. I'm going to have them come in and watch our first show because the kids, we had a challenge, a national challenge about gun violence.
Okay.
And it was through PBS, and they were to put together a video to send in. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be what do they think about gun violence?
Right.
And it ended up being about a 20-minute talk show, and I wasn't going to stop them because it was so good. And the kids had bullet points. But they were – you would have never known that they were not talk show hosts that came off Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
That it was – I mean, they flowed so well. There was – and they were not reading off a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
They were just talking. And it was the best thing I've ever watched.
Yeah.
So we – look, everybody, you need to get on the Hive TV. You need to subscribe because these student-led talk shows are going to be posted every so often about these subjects. And these kids – are so intelligent and so insightful. You know, sometimes I think as adults, we fail to see certain sides of a subject.
Yeah.
And we are so set in our ways.
Right.
And these kids presented every angle to gun violence, from mental health issues to licensing and how these kids, how video games may play a role in this. I mean, insightful stuff.
Yeah.
And I think as adults, we can learn a lot from them.
And, you know, this is experience that they get through the AV program, through the CTE program, mm-hmm. through what is available now to them. And to think about that is opening doors of opportunities because
yes.
now they're creating digital resumes. They're creating
Absolutely.
Opportunities that when they leave here, when they go to college, you know, I have been to some universities where they probably don't even have as good of an AV program as what you have mm-hmm. at Upperman High School. And then to think about having them, like you said, industry ready.
Yeah.
And that's so important because, you know, you're not still using 3/4 tape, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, shooting.
Oh,
and
I remember how that was.
You know what I mean? But, you know, there's some places that they'll take whatever they can get and they'll train them. But when they get out into the world, that's not what the world uses.
No, and I can't imagine. You say 3/4 tape. I can't imagine. So I edited – well, I was a part of the editing, but I didn't – I was definitely not the expert editing music that way.
Yeah.
We did it to tape. Yeah. My very first album was done to tape. And even though most people were doing digital, tape sounds better.
Yeah.
But they edited with a razor blade.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing video
splicing
that
it.
Way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yes, splicing.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
what a technique. But yeah, these.
Thank
kids,
goodness for advancements in technology.
No kidding, it's so much easier and faster. But I teach in college too. But mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're not going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, I encourage. Although I would love for these kids to get a college education,
sure,
it's not for everybody,
right?
And this industry, the quicker you can get out there and get industry experience. And start networking
yes.
with all these individuals that are going to hire you, mm-hmm. the better you are.
Yep.
So to take 4 years at a college when you could go right into video production and develop a network,
yeah.
in 4 years you could already be in Hollywood
yeah.
or you could be in Nashville or you can be in Atlanta
yeah.
and you can be making 6 figures before your classmates get out of a college with $80,000 in college debt, and that's on the low side.
Yeah, and really, maybe not even adequate equipment that you're going to be
yeah.
using during that time.
Absolutely.
And certainly not getting the same kind of experience mm-hmm. that you're getting right now.
Absolutely. Now, I love MTSU's program. I love yeah. Belmont's program. And some kids are not networking experts.
Sure.
So that may be the route. And we talk about that in class all
the
time.
Yeah.
If you are not a go-getter, you need to go to college so you can get the opportunity to build this network.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a go-getter, you need to get out in the industry and you need to do your thing.
Yep.
Because there's so much opportunities. And even if they don't want to even go that route, they can start building their YouTube channel and creating content right now. They can shoot movies right now. And we
yes.
do that. We've done 3 short films already.
Really?
Yes. And I have one of my very best friends, the one I'm working on the documentary, is a movie producer in LA.
Wow.
And he's come in. He actually was on – So lots of things, lots of great things are happening in Nashville. He's actually possibly moving to Nashville, so I can't wait. But he came in and talked to the kids about doing short films now.
Yeah.
Why not? You don't have the expenses you're going to have when you get married and have a family and blah, blah, blah. Let's do it now. And so it was great. The kids loved all the things he had to say and really took that to heart.
Yeah. So say a young Susie Dobbs comes in to Upperman as a freshman. And she comes up to you and she says, you know, I don't really know what I want to do, but I think I want to do something like this. What do I need to do?
So that's great because I tell them, definitely take my class. Let's try it. Let's see. And, you know, I always ask probing questions to find out where their strengths are, if they're an editor, da, da, da. There's a lot of kids that are like, I'm not going to take your class because I don't want to be on camera. We don't have to be on camera.
Right.
There's so many other jobs, and this is the thing they don't know. There's so many other jobs behind the camera that you never have to set foot in front of the camera. When they hear that, oh, they're all in.
Yeah.
Because kids that age, look, kids are mean most of the time, and if they see you on camera, they're always going to be criticizing things. So that's a consideration, and not all kids want to even go down
that
road.
They don't want to put themselves out there.
No, and that's okay, too.
Right.
We have so many jobs, and a lot of times – and I give them the opportunity. We always cater every assignment to fit each student and how they want to learn.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to even be on camera when they're doing their intro video, they can voice over. I have some kids. Every time they submit an assignment, I said, you need to be doing voiceover work.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know that existed.
Right.
But they have such great quality to their voices. They talk so well that they learned that there might be another avenue where they can make a lot of money.
And see, I think that's what's key is all the different possibilities through this. And it's not just being on TV. And I think that's the one thing. I mean, you hit it on the head is it's not just an AV program. Isn't just kids going out and being on TV and making videos.
There's we have a podcast studio, too.
Yeah.
And the kids love to do podcasts.
They
absolutely love it. And some, they are so darn funny. And so they get to go in the podcast studio. We got special effects. We got all this kind of stuff. So they make, and they make multiple episodes, and they do such a great job.
Yeah. Now, say a young Buddy Pearson comes to you and
says,
I want to be on ESPN, and I'm going to be the next Chris Berman. What can I do? Because I'm ready.
Oh, we do that too. And so we've got a play-by-play system that we do through NFHS.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids have an opportunity. I have a baseball game set up where they can call the baseball game. I have a script and I said, you have to cover these. Here's your sponsors.
Yeah.
And that's one of our assignments. Not everybody loves it.
Right.
Some of the girls are like, I don't even watch baseball, which is, that's okay too, but they can read.
Yeah.
And so everybody gets experience that in that way. And some people that think that they want to do play-by-play are like, oh no, this is too hard.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too, you know. But our next adventure, which I'm very excited about, is a radio station.
Really?
Yeah. So we can get a receiver and a broadcast system for under $100 that will just broadcast around Upperman High School.
So that is awesome.
We are going to put the audio from our announcements out at about 15 minutes to 8. So everyone's sitting in the car line.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Parents don't understand. So parents, if you want to know what's going on at Upperman,
so
you
awesome.
Need to subscribe to the UHS Hive TV on YouTube. But soon, maybe not this year, but for sure, the very first day of school next year, we're going to have signs up with our radio station where you can tune in and find out what is going on in your kids' lives at Upperman.
Wow.
Yes.
That is exciting.
I didn't tell you this. My very first job in high school was at KX 104, where we're proud of our country.
Somehow
North Platte,
I knew.
Nebraska.
Yes.
Best job ever. I could go in my jammies.
Yeah.
And I worked the overnights and I did the weather and commercials. It was great.
So we're running out of time, but quickly, 30 seconds. Where do you think this can go? What do you see the future of AV turning into?
Oh my gosh, these kids, there is no ceiling for them.
Yeah.
They can look first, our goals, we're going to be the best in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Then I want to be nationally recognized. I mean, I have plans. I want a truck. I want a truck that looks like ESPN. You know, I've got all these things in mind, but you know what? The kids, they're so talented and so creative that anything they want to do, I'm going to find a way to make it work. And we're just going to go for it.
That's awesome. Susie Dobbs, AV instructor at Upperman High School. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's all the time we have for this week on Local Matters. I'd like to thank our guest again, Susie Dobbs. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week and God bless.